This podcast is brought to you by our new Buy American Support America t-shirt, available now at howiecarshow.com. Click store. A portion of the proceeds go to Help ER Eats. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
Yesterday, you had the president talking about how great it is that disinfectant can kill these things, and maybe we can get a shot for that.
You know you're a fake. You know that your whole network, the way you cover it, is fake.
I mean, there's people who are listening, obviously, to the president of the United States and take what he says very seriously. Are you concerned at all from a medical standpoint of somebody injecting themselves with a disinfectant?
That's why CNN is not trusted anymore. They are fake news. Remember that.
The president is asking people to inject Lysol into their lungs.
Nancy Pelosi's been, she's very nasty.
Yesterday, we seemed to have a quack medicine salesman on television.
Try and Chuck Schumer. You know, I used to be a big contributor to you. He used to kiss my ass, Chuck Schumer.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
What actually happened is this.
Right, and then I see the disinfectant where it knocks it out in a minute. And is there a way we can do something like that by injection inside or almost a cleaning? Because you see it gets in the lungs and it does a tremendous number in the lungs. So it'd be interesting to check that. So that you're going to have to use medical doctors with.
So injection. We're talking about almost a cleaning sterilization of an area.
Right.
Maybe it works, maybe it doesn't work.
So that's it. That's all I have. I'm just here to present talent. I'm here to present ideas.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
It took a colorblind, genderblind, state line blind virus to sort of have all of the president's sins from his first 3 years catch up with him.
Unchained and unstoppable.
I'm just going to reiterate for I don't know how many, the upteenth time, I'm not going to sign any bill that takes authority away from me. The powers of the executive office are incredibly important.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats, beware. It's Howie Carr.
Incredibly important for who? Governor Whitmer. Come on. 844-500-4242. We have tweeted out again a chart showing the COVID-19 deaths by age in Massachusetts. It is a very revealing chart from the Commonwealth of Massachusetts' own statistics. So you can check it out at Howie Carr Show. That's our Twitter account, our handle, at Howie Carr Show. And check it out. Somebody just saw it, Grace, and said, I'm going to post this on Facebook tonight, and boy, am I going to get blasted.
That's the spirit.
What are you going to believe? Your lion eyes or the chart? Wait till you see this chart. That's all I got to say. It's amazing.
It's Grace, a big, beautiful chart.
It's a wonderful chart. It's a perfect chart.
So sometimes when I see a liberal post something obnoxious, which actually just happened to me, I was scrolling through one of my feeds. I get this feeling of like, ugh, how could you post that? And then I realize people probably look at my stuff and think the same thing sometimes.
Well, how can they argue with this chart? This chart belongs to the Democrat in Republican clothing governor of Massachusetts, Charlie Baker, a.k.a. Charlie Parker.
We choose truth over fact, Howie. You know that's their motto. Okay, so I have a ton of news I want to get to. Most importantly, free at last. Thank God Almighty Michael Avenatti is free at last.
Pitiful.
He's been released from the Metropolitan Correctional Center in Manhattan around 11 a.m., according to one of his attorneys. He is required to surrender to authorities and return to the jail at the end of the 90 days. I have a feeling
how Paul Manafort, who's 22 years older and has underlying medical conditions, he remains in jail. Dean Skelos, the former Senate Majority Leader in New York, he remains in jail for having done much less. But, like Manafort, though, he's a Republican. So I guess the Republicans have to remain in jail while the Democrats go free.
And Howie, I don't want to predict the future here, but if I were to bet, I would put my money on the idea or the fact that I don't think Michael Avenatti is ever going to be inside of a jail cell ever again. I don't foresee him going back to jail.
You think he's going to go on the lam?
He's either going on the lam or I don't know. I just don't see it. I think that was our one shot. And thanks to this stupid virus, we blew it. Anyway, though, Howie, more news, not just that. But by the way, he doesn't have access to internet and he's going to be wearing an ankle bracelet. So he will not be Skyping in for his weekly hits on CNN. That is not going to happen.
He's not going to be able to do any hits on CNN or MSNBC.
No.
This is going to hurt his campaign for the Democratic nomination for president.
They'll have to find other experts in his field.
He won't be able to broadcast from his basement like Sleepy Joe.
They'll have to rely on Tubin. What's his name? Jeff Tubin for his lawyer, his legal expertise, unfortunately for them. So, Howie, I wanted to get your take on this story because I read it this morning and I started laughing and then I brought it up to Taylor. I think it's a good conversation piece. Japanese mayor says men should grocery shop because women take longer. He's getting a lot of heat for this. A lot of people are saying what he said is sexist, inappropriate, prejudice.
Since the invention of cell phones, Grace, what does it really matter, male or female? You know, you can talk to your spouse as you shop, and from what I can see in the supermarket, most people are doing that.
But here's the difference, Howie. He's saying that when men or women get in the grocery store to get their stuff, women tend to linger and tend to take longer picking out their things than a man.
So that may be true.
It's not about a man not getting the right things.
But what's the big deal? What's the big deal about that?
The longer you're in there, the more chance of things happening.
Yeah, the longer you're exposed to anything dangerous.
This would have been a good poll question. And Howie, I just want to say, from personal...
What would be dangerous?
Really? Taylor, really?
What would be dangerous?
I don't know, picking up produce that somebody coughed on?
Oh, you guys are going above the issue here. The issue is, do men shop faster than women in the grocery store? And I just want to say from personal experience that this is 100% true. The Japanese mayor should not be apologizing. When I go into the grocery store with Will, he frequently leaps halfway through and says, I cannot watch you stare at the cheeses any longer. You need to hurry this process up. And I say, please do not breathe down my neck while I pick out the cheese I want. So I just don't know why this guy's getting so much heat. He's speaking truth to power.
He's absolutely right. But here's the thing. He's right that we're faster, but we are not more accurate. My wife, I do the shopping now because my wife is pregnant. I don't want her because I don't know what's going to happen. I don't want her getting in harm's way or the baby or anything. So I do the shopping, but I make her make the most specific
right.
lists.
She can't just write milk. She has to write 1% Garlic Farms
organic. Give me the name brand. I've got to know what I'm getting.
What color is it?
Otherwise, what I see, if it says milk on it, I'm grabbing it.
And Taylor,
if I make one mistake in buying something, I never buy it again.
But I say
that's it. That's it. You buy the nut pods or whatever, you know,
Taylor,
because I buy caramel instead of French vanilla.
I guarantee
or whatever.
You, nut pods are never on the Cormier household shopping
list.
Well,
I don't eat them. I'm buying them for the mailroom manager. I think the one thing about supermarkets is that I would tell people, and I've taken it to heart as advice, don't go into a supermarket when you're hungry because you're going to make more foolish decisions.
But guys, this is how Taylor's wife feels sending him into the grocery store. Can you imagine how the mailroom manager feels sending Howie into the grocery store? Howie, your favorite foods are like tartar sauce and M&M's. She must feel like she is just sending you into the wolves when you go into the grocery store.
Don't forget Doritos.
Oh my
God. Pepperoni
sticks. I can't imagine what you bring back.
And the worst part for my wife, and Howie's going to laugh, is because I wear my mask and my gloves inside the grocery store, I'm not touching my cell phone because I don't want to potentially contaminate it. So, go ahead, Howie. Go ahead.
I knew it was coming.
Pitiful.
So she cannot contact me to make sure I got the right things, vice versa.
See, this is why I brought this story up. Howie, Governor Cuomo is now saying he is warning people that another global pandemic will happen again as he reflected on lessons learned from the deadly coronavirus crisis. He said, it will happen again. Bank on it. Let's not put our heads in the sand and think this is the only pandemic we'll ever have. I can't stand him. So,
really?
So a year ago, you were rejecting opportunities to buy ventilators because you didn't think you would ever need them. That's okay. But now you're going to be, what do they call that guy from Johnny Carson who's like the, with the thing?
Karnak the Magnificent.
Now you're going to be Karnak the Magnificent and tell me that I can't put my head in the sand and think there's never going to be a pandemic. Listen, bro, I never had my head in the sand. It's a bad idea to begin with. It gets all in your nose and in your ears.
I guess Andrew Cuomo finally read a history book.
I know, right?
You know, I mean, there've been pandemics ever since there were human beings on the planet.
What do you say to people, Governor Cuomo, who say there's never going to be another pandemic ever? Who say that this is a one-time thing and we don't need to worry about it anymore? So I'm so glad that we have Fredo's older brother to protect us from the next pandemic. We're in such good hands. Guys, I wanted to give everyone a heads up. I just got a text from the mailroom manager about the t-shirt. If you haven't heard about this t-shirt, it is Buy American, Support America, Made in the USA. There's no double XLs left or mediums left, only smalls and larges and XLs. And once they are gone, they are gone. So get yourself to HowieCarShow.com. Click on the store. Get your t-shirt. We are going to run out of the powder blue. We have another company that's going to make us t-shirts in navy blue. This company, unfortunately, went out of business due to the current situation with the coronavirus. But you can still buy these shirts now in the sizes I just read. So do it today.
And I will show you one after the break. We come back.
Oh, now that's a teaser.
With more of Grace's news. I'm Howie Carr.
The Howie Carr Show.
Hi, this is Val from Longmeadow, Mass.
Hi, this is Tony and Pietra from Havel, Massachusetts.
This is Mernie in Fairfax County, Virginia, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
844-500-4242. Here's the t-shirt. Buy American, Support America. Nice looking t-shirt. We're running low on the powder blue, Carolina blue color. We only have small, large, and extra larges left. But you can get them now. Go to HowieCarShow.com. Click on store. HowieCarShow.com. Click on store. They're a great gift. Whether you're working from home or working on your fitness, you want to hear your music, not your roommates or your family's music. And Raycon wireless earbuds are the way to go. I got them in my hand. Get 15% off your Raycon order at buyraycon.com/Howie. That's buyraycon.com/Howie. I'll have them in my ears this weekend so to drown out the sound of the police motorcycles going by to make sure that no bicycle riders over the age of 12 are out on the bike path until 4 p.m. because the coronavirus roams free. It's particularly deadly between 9 and 4.
Get off my lawn.
That is the biggest thing people can do to anger Howie is get in between him and his bicycle. He loves that bike.
I don't understand. The bans on being on the beach or on the bike path or anywhere else in the middle of the day. What do they know about coronavirus that nobody else knows? Why can't you be out on the beach in the middle of the day? Just asking the question.
You just want to put your head in the sand and pretend there's not a pandemic coming.
Right. You're right. I do. So, Taylor, what are the results? What's the poll question and what are the results?
Britt Hume said the lockdowns could be a, quote, colossal public policy calamity. Do you agree?
Yes, most certainly.
94% agree.
All right.
All right, Grace. Howie. So I have a story from the New York Post I want to get your take on. A virtual babysitter is the latest BS idea from coronavirus opportunists. So
what?
The political phrase is never let a crisis go to waste. And con artists never let a crisis go to waste.
That's like having a scarecrow out in the field, right? You know, how many crows is it gonna fool? You're gonna have how many kids is a virtual babysitter gonna fool?
Well, Almost every kid has a virtual babysitter if they have a television set. I mean, that's...
a good point, Grace.
So it says, the answer is a so-called virtual sitter, a stranger who will watch your kids over Skype, Zoom, Google Hangouts, and the like for around $20 an hour.
Yeah, right.
Online companies...
$20 an hour?
The picture, the stock photo they use in this, there's a little girl, and she's screaming at the computer, throwing a tantrum.
Where's the bunco squad when you need them? I mean, this is fraud.
The service will keep younger kids engaged using games like Simon Says, I Spy, Online Chess, or Checkers, and 20 Questions. A Sitter City spokesperson tells the Post. And for older kids, imagine your parents having to get you a babysitter. You're older, you're at home, and they hire a virtual sitter to watch you from the computer. The world is going nuts, Howie.
So you watch the kids from a computer. Isn't this what got Anthony Weiner sent to prison?
Very good point, Howard. According to Fox News, Biden holds edge over Trump in 2020 battlegrounds, but there's a catch. And you know what the catch is, Howie?
What's the catch?
The catch is that all of those states that are now saying that Biden has a small lead. I think it's like an 8-point lead, which really 6 months out is nothing. But those are the same states that where the polls said Hillary had a huge lead over Trump. Mm-hmm. And it just brings me back to the question of, did Donald Trump kill polls when he won? Because they were so off that I don't understand why anyone would put any stake in them anymore.
What would happen if they started broadcasting Joe Biden's virtual town halls with people like Al Gore on Earth Day, and they broadcast them instead of Donald Trump's press conferences every night at the White House? How long do you think he would have even a virtual lead in the polls if people started watching and hearing Joe Biden babbling and mumbling and stumbling and struggling?
Well, that's
every day.
That's the amazing thing about yesterday's press conference, because Trump had to say, listen, I know what this is all about. Why you guys are now talking about delaying the election. You have an old, feeble man in the basement, and he can't handle it. And it's going to get even stranger, because now they're either going to have to tiptoe around Joe Biden, or they're going to have to start asking him tough questions eventually, right?
I can't tell you what's going to happen. We have a sleepy guy in a basement of a house.
And how about Biden last night? We don't have any sound of it because there was just a pool reporter in it. But he had another one of these virtual town halls with one of his networks, in this case CBS. And he said that Trump plans to kick back the election. He knows a lot about kickbacks. That's what Hunter Biden's job in Ukraine was all about. But what did he mean by that? Kick back the election.
Well, it's also hilarious to say that between Biden and Trump, that Trump's the one who's afraid of debates and election prep and things like that. I mean, out of the two of them, are we being serious? I think the entire part of the reason that Biden is loving his basement life so much is that the one person who may have asked him a tough question in the last year was Peter Ducey. And Peter Ducey can't ask him any questions when he's down his basement. So it's just ridiculous. And I like that Trump keeps pointing it out to the media, because if they're not going to talk about the Democrat nominee at this point, he has to talk about it every time he's up there. And he has to just keep repeating it. It used to be, where's Hunter Biden, Howie? Now it's, where's Joe Biden?
He's in the basement.
We have an old man in the basement.
Grace, have you noticed something? Jay from Chelsea, one of our regular listeners, noticed this too, that behind Joe Biden in the basement is a football. Have you noticed that? The football?
Oh, maybe that was from the game when he won the Heisman or the year.
Or the Super Bowl. You know, he never played big time football, but he's got that football back of him. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. Victor Davis Hanson is doing a really great job in this moment, writing columns about the emergency. And he penned a really good one the other day. It's a free country, brother. That's a line from a movie from John Voight. And He says the freedoms of American democracy are being tested in ways we scarcely ever imagined. Out of nowhere, little Napoleonic governors arise to enact decrees prohibiting gardening or strolling on an empty beach, decrees that seem to have little purpose other than to reflect that they can do so. Joining us now on the line is Victor Davis Hanson. It really is unprecedented what's the kinds of prohibitions that are being inflicted on the American people, isn't it?
It is. And if we could just, you know, go out in outer space and come back in 6 months, we'd say, wait a minute. We overturned the First and Second Amendments because a virus challenged us that was found out maybe to have a lethality rate comparable to a bad flu year, one or two deaths per thousand rather than three or four per hundred, as we were told. I'm not trying to downplay the severity right for people who are vulnerable to it, but that's what we're looking at. We're looking at one or two probably per thousand who are infected are going to die from it. And for that reason, somebody just decided on their own that the U.S. Constitution doesn't apply anymore. The First Amendment, the freedom to walk out and say what you want. If you're in New Jersey and you're considered, you know, rumor mongering, you can be arrested. If you're Los Angeles, you can shut down a gun store. If you're in a beach, you can, in Santa Monica, they can stop, they can have a skateboard rink shut down. I have never seen anything quite like it.
Yeah, I saw a story today. I never even heard of this town. It's in your home state of California, Lancaster. It's, I guess, about an hour north of L.A. Did you see this story about this guy? He's the mayor, and he's a Republican of all things. Here's what he posted on Facebook, you know, telling people to, you know, straighten up. Do not mess with us. You will not endanger the lives of our hardworking families because of some misguided civil liberties argument. The quote is, give me liberty or give me death. Being arrested and locked up in an overcrowded jail just might result in granting you your wish. I mean, where the hell does he get off saying things like that?
I don't know. And what's even more disturbing, all this is juxtaposed that supposed experts, because they're so expert, their wisdom displaces the Constitution. We look at what the wisdom it was. It was, you can't transmit this from human to human. There is no real danger in January that it could lead to an epidemic. You don't really need to wear a mask. Maybe sometimes you should wear a mask. Maybe never you should wear a mask. We need so many ventilators. We're going to be short. We're going to be overflowing. I can't figure out from the expertise that's been given to us that these models that 2 million are going to die, 300,000 are going to die, 100,000 are going to die, 70,000 are going to die. I have no problem with the uncertainty because that's the nature of science until you find hard data. But this idea, you take a denominator of only cases of people who felt sick or exposed and then turned out to test positive, and then you divide that into people who died, not all of whom maybe have died from it rather than with it. And out of that, you get these numbers that even the experts don't rely on, but they use for modeling to affect public policy. It's so tenuous. And then as a price for all this, we're told to be patriotic, good Americans. We have to sort of destroy the First Amendment to save it. And I just don't understand it.
We had a lawyer on the show yesterday from Idaho. He represents a woman, mother of six. She's still nursing an infant, and she was arrested and is looking at either 6 months in jail or $1,000 fine for running a yard sale without permission, a yard sale. And the police department, Victor Davis Hanson, posted on its Facebook page that this scofflaw had been running a yard sale and it could be seen from Highway 41. And I asked the lawyer, boy, that's a pretty tightly written ordinance that you can't have a yard sale that can be visible from Highway 41. And he made the point that, you know, you have in our system, state and federal, we have a legislature and we have a chief executive officer, a governor or president. The legislature enacts the law and the chief executive enforces the laws. But in this case, in the last 6 weeks, the chief executives have taken over all the legislative powers, and they're just they're just writing these laws willy-nilly. It's exactly
what the framers were terrified of when they wrote the Constitution. And what I don't understand, though, is if we go back, we didn't do this in 2017. We had 60 million people infected. We had 61,000 die. We had 1 million hospitalized. And we had 250,000 of those 60 million approximated cases. Only 250,000 were testing positive. Had we used the same formulas we do now, we would have said, my God, one out of every 10 Americans is going to die in 2017. So I'm asking myself, what is different about this year? And I suppose it was a perfect storm of China, the Wuhan laboratory, election year, the hatred of Donald Trump, coming on the heels of impeachment. I don't know what it was, but something happened that made the whole constitutional system in the United States seem very fragile all of a sudden.
But I think back over American history. I mean, you and I read American history, but I get the feeling most people don't anymore. But you go back, you look at 1942. You know, we were losing the war in 1942, right?
Yeah.
But they still had opening day for baseball season. You know, all the men in the colleges enlisted, or most of them did, but the colleges were still open, right?
I know it. We lost 117,057 from the flu, and I can remember as a little five-year-old going to kindergarten, and we had a little tent in the house. We came home and inhaled steam. 117,000 out of a population of 170, and we didn't do this. And, you know, I grew up in the same house I'm speaking with my aunt, who was crippled in the polio outbreak of 1924, and that was just common. But we've never quite done this before. And I don't know whether it's our generation, the baby boomer generation, that's fading, and I don't know what the calculus or the matrix is, but something has gone really wrong in the United States, and this hysteria and panic is, as we always associate with plagues, but this thing is just, it's incredible.
We're talking to Victor Davis Hanson. You know, how about the fact that the American media is on the side of these little tin pot dictators? Whether it's the county judges in Dallas or in Houston, or the governors of Rhode Island and Michigan. I mean, they're cheering them on. There was a story in the Boston Globe that said they were citing examples of disobedience, stores that were remaining open. Disobedience, like, you know, the whole state or the whole country's in the third grade, and you have to obey Miss Jones' instructions, or you're going to be have to stand in the corner or put in a jail where you're going to die, according to the mayor of Lancaster, California.
I guess the common denominator is when you look at these internet scarifying worldometer or John Hopkins meter, you see China, cases and death, and it's just static. It's frozen in amber for a month. And everybody knows that that's a fraudulent number from a Communist Party dictatorship. And yet, you turn on CNN or an MSNBC, and you hear Donald Trump is being trumped by China. China has the successful paradigm. We need to learn from China. It's almost as if these communist megaphones are the source of knowledge for our own media. And you add all of this up, foreign and domestic, and it really is true that the left weaponized this as an opportunity in a way that Robert Mueller impeachment did not deliver. And they really do see this as a lose-lose situation for Donald Trump, that if he goes back and an outbreak comes and he's a veritable murderer who is putting profits above lives, and if he doesn't go back, then he's another Herbert Hoover who wrecked the economy, and he loses both ways.
Right.
And that, if you keep that in mind, it explains why they would accept blatant lies from the Chinese government
or why, as you say, they would cheer on people who are obviously violating the First Amendment.
Yeah, you know, how many times have you heard the words grim milestone? Everything is a grim milestone. You know, it's like when Bush was president and that we had the casualty reports from Iraq or Afghanistan. It was a grim milestone.
Yeah.
As soon as Barack Obama became president, there were no more grim milestones, you know?
There's going to be consequences of this. I hope the left sees this, that if they were to ever take power, that people are going to have a long memory. I mean, I see Joe Biden in his, you mentioned him in his basement. This was supposed to be fireside chats that were polite critiques of Donald Trump. Instead, they're, let's teleprompt him. No, let's not teleprompt him. Let's have him do him impromptu. No, let's do both. Let's not have him speak at all. And you want to say, well, where is the Yale psychiatrist who told Trump that he should take the Montreal Cognitive Assessment Test? And he did that. I mean, are they going to say, Joe, you've got to take these 30 questions and you've got to get somebody from the government to test you and then tell us that you're capable of holding office? So everything is so asymmetrical, and that's what I think they don't understand. They're really playing with fire because they're telling half the country, you're stupid, you're an idiot, you can't open up for business, you don't know what's right. good for you. And by the way, when we come into power, then you're supposed to be patriotic and love us and get back on the team. And that's not a good way to unify the country in a time of crisis.
Yeah. And they're also telling half the country that we are not essential. You know, Andrew Cuomo said he'll decide who's essential. The mayor of Newark said he'll decide who's essential. You know,
I don't understand. I love my financial planner, but believe me, right now I'm much more worried about a trucker bringing toilet paper to Walmart. And I like to watch the media, and I'm a pundit, I guess, that writes stuff. But right now, the guy around the corner that has a meatpacking plant, and a guy over here that has a lettuce field, they're a lot more important. And I think that's one of the lessons, that we don't need any more vice provosts of inclusion and diversity. And
don't forget sustainability.
They don't produce anything.
Yeah.
And sustainability, yeah. So it's yeah. been gut check time that red state America and the interior of the country are not the globalized corridors. I mean, Michael Bloomberg giving liquid capital to Chinese communist countries is not as important as the guys that he made fun of that just dropped seeds in the ground and anybody in the room can do it. And it's been really kind of a clarifying moment.
Yep. We talked about the mayor of Newark saying he wants everybody in Newark to be still on Monday. Unless you're a cop or a firefighter or in the hospital, nobody else is necessary. Those are the only essential people. So somebody texted into me, Victor Davis Hanson, and said, I work in a power plant making electricity. Am I essential?
Howie, there was something called the neutron bomb. Remember that the left went crazy about, that was going to just heat everything but not destroy infrastructure?
Right.
This is what this thing is. It's a neutron bomb. It's destroyed the economy, but it's left everything intact. But you go into a street in any of these little towns or cities, and it looks like somebody dropped a neutron bomb. And I don't understand it. It's the most self-inflicted destruction of a $22 trillion a year economy that you could imagine.
I know. I don't know if there's ever been an economic. Yeah. I don't know if there's ever been a society that committed economic suicide.
No, I don't think so.
That's. Well, I mean, that's.
Not like this.
Yeah. Victor Davis Hanson, it's a great story. You're doing all your stuff is great. Victor Davis Hanson, check out It's a Free Country, brother. Thanks for being with us, Victor Davis Hanson.
You're listening to The Howie Carr Show.
This hour of The Howie Carr Show is brought to you in part by Boone's Fish House and Oyster Room on the Portland waterfront. For amazing wood-grilled meats and seafood, visit the home of the baked stuffed lobster, Boone's Portland.
This is Mark in Williston, Vermont.
This is Marie in Somerville, Massachusetts.
This is Mike from South Attleboro, Mass. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
844-500-4242. That is the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. I mentioned to Victor Davis Hanson, this mayor in California. He's a Republican, R. Rex Paris. He is the mayor of Lancaster, about an hour north of Los Angeles. I guess it's a small city. I don't know it. But, he's basically saying if you get out of line and you protest these lockdowns, you might end up thrown in being arrested and locked up in an overcrowded jail just might result in granting you your wish, the wish of give me liberty or give me death. And someone commented back to him, are you kidding me? Misguided civil liberties. That's what he said. You're misguided civil liberties. There are people in a panic. Many are not receiving a paycheck. They are facing the loss of their businesses. They can't pay their bills and may not soon be able to feed their families. The only recourse they have is to stand up for their civil liberties. These people, the power has absolutely gone to their heads. And it's not just all Democrats, as you might expect. Matt, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Matt.
Howie, if this coronavirus was hitting Jacksonville, Florida, and Omaha, Nebraska, and those are the two hot spots that were completely stormed by the disease, you had a high mortality rate, you had people locked down in those two reasonably sized U.S. cities, would people in New York be doing hashtag stay at home and eating ramen out of their apartments?
Right. Another point somebody made, Matt, is that the next time there's a hurricane bearing down on Miami, will New York evacuate?
Howie, the people that are doing this badge that have this like purple home, stay home hashtag badge on their social media pages.
Yeah.
I want those people to put their net worth as their badge. Or their W-2. So we know how much money they're really making that they can afford.
Do you think they work? I doubt that. We see their income tax returns, but I don't think a lot of them have W-2s. I'm Howie.